All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some of the pictures of the Lord Jesus that you can see in the Old Testament scriptures, mainly the book of Genesis. And I want us to continue on that line of thinking tonight. And I want to show you a couple of things that that will hopefully tie together what we have learned over the last two Wednesday nights, and then show you how this all works and what you can look for when you're reading your Bible, and how you can find these pictures. All right, so Luke chapter 24. Now, if you'll go back to verse 13, look at verse 13. All right, in verse 13, now you know the story here. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." Now, it says, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. All right, now that comes out to 7.5 miles if you work it out. So 7 miles, they're walking 7 miles out the ridge to Emmaus. All right, verse 14. "And they," so two of them, "they talked together of all these things which had happened." Now, what had happened? Crucifixion, that's one thing. Huh? The resurrection, that's another thing. So all these things that happened. And I'm sure that they were talking about what happened the week before when Jesus came in, remember, to the city on the donkey, and they threw their palm leaves down and threw their coats down for him to enter into the city, and they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." I mean, you know, all this stuff, the miracles that he did, the sermons that he preached. So they're going back home and they're just talking about all this stuff that had happened. Verse 15. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk? And are," what's the next word? Sad. They were brokenhearted over what had happened to their friend. To their friend. They were brokenhearted. They were sad because he had to suffer so. Man, did he ever. They were also sad because he died. They weren't expecting that. They just thought for sure he would call 10,000 angels, you know, this, as the song goes. They just knew that there was no way that he was going to allow them to take his life, but they did, and so they were sad. All right, look at verse 18. "And the one of them whose name was Cleopas." Now, I personally think, and I think when we get to heaven, you all will see I'm right. But I personally think that these two were Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. That's my personal opinion. I mean, if it was another man, they probably, Luke would have named the name. But he says the two of them. All right, so you kind of get the idea that they're a couple. But anyway, one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Are you new here? Have you just gotten into town? And don't you know the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now, when they say redeemed Israel, they're not talking about salvation. They're talking about redeeming Israel from Rome. They're talking about getting Rome out and reestablishing the nation of Israel and Jesus sitting on the throne of David, ruling the world. So they said, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. All right, so what's so important about that? Well, because he said after 3 days, I'm coming out of the ground. Amen. All right, so what's the implication there? Huh? No, the implication is they didn't know that he had resurrected. You see, that's the implication. Now, I don't know where they were. I don't know how far along. I don't know how long it'd take you to walk 7.5 miles. I wouldn't think it would be that long. But the implication is they didn't know that Jesus had resurrected. They knew it was the third day. And they knew that he said he was going to resurrect on the third day. All right, so read on. It says, since these things were done. Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the grave. So they heard word, but they did not know for sure. They didn't see him. They didn't see him. And so it says, look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, now watch, this is just a little mild rebuke on his part for their doubt, for their lack of faith. And he says in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow to believe, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, what? All the what? Prophets. So where do you read about these prophets? In your Old Testament. In the, as they called it, scriptures. All right? So they said that you're slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets have already said. And then he asked this question, ought not Christ, now that's the Messiah, that's Christos, the Messiah, all right, ought not Christ, the Anointed One, and whenever you see that, that was the name or the title for the Messiah. That's Old Testament, New Testament. Whenever the word Christ is used, they're always referring to Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one sent from God to be the Messiah for the world. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? What things? Well, the things that they had been discussing. All the suffering, all the agony that he had to endure on the cross and before the cross. It says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, comma, and to enter into His glory. Now, folks, I want y'all to remember back in 2000 and around 9, 2010, somewhere back in there, when I took you through the prophecies of the Old Testament having to do with the second coming of Christ. Remember that? And I emphasized often, I mean often to you, that for every prophecy in the Bible about the Lord's first coming, His first advent, there are three prophecies concerning His second advent. In other words, there's a whole lot more prophecy about the second coming of Christ and all that's connected to that than there is to His first coming into this world to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And so that's what he is talking about here. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And then, what do the prophets say? That's the implication here. You know the prophets, all right? You know what's in them. You're Jews, and you know what's in that Old Testament. And so he asks, ought not Christ to have suffered these things that you witnessed? You remember that in your Old Testament, don't you? That's the implication. You see what I'm saying? And then he would have said to them, but then don't forget, there's three times more prophecy about the second coming and everything that's going to be connected to that second coming than there was to the first coming. And so what do the prophets say about the second coming? Well, that one is glory. This one was gore. He died. He suffered. He was nailed to the cross. He was naked. He was humiliated. He was shamed. All right? That one was gore. When they looked at him, Isaiah said, you could not even tell that that was a man hanging on that cross. That's pretty rough. But for every one prophecy about this in the Old Testament, there are three about the glory that is coming. All right? So that's what he is asking them. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that you were discussing? But also, ought not Christ to enter into his glory? And that's what's coming, folks. That's what's coming to this world. And so, after asking the question, here is what happened. In verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses, now, where do you begin at Moses? Genesis, exactly right. And so, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. All right, so all the prophets. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the prophecies of Moses in the law, and there are many. We're talking about the prophecies of, Samuel. We're talking about the prophecies of David. We're talking about the prophecies that are in the Psalms, where David talked about the Lord's first coming and his second coming. We're talking about Isaiah. We're talking about Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos and Habakkuk and Jonah. I mean, we're talking about all of them. They all talk about the same person. Who is that? Jesus. This book, folks, is all about him. And that's the amazing thing about this book. So, imagine yourself now. Imagine yourself walking with down the road, and Jesus comes along, and then all of a sudden, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, and brethren, listen, if anybody ought to know, he ought to know. I mean, since it's all about him anyway. And so, beginning at Moses, and then going through all the prophets, he, Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures, plural, the things concerning himself. Now, wouldn't you have liked to have heard that sermon? Wow. That would have been absolutely amazing. And it's no wonder that when they got to the house, that Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas in verse 29 said, come on in and stay with us. We don't want you to leave. It's getting towards evening. You might as well just spend the night. After all, we got a lot more to learn. All right? But then look at verse 31. It says, and their eyes were opened. In other words, the Lord taught them, you know, he taught them, but there's no way he could teach all in one sitting. And so he had to go. He had to get back because the disciples are in the upper room waiting on him. They don't know they're waiting on him, but they're waiting on him. And so he's got to go. So what's he do? Well, he says, look, guys, I'd like to spend the night, but I got to go. So here's what I'm going to do. And here's what he did. He opened, verse 31, their eyes, and they knew him, and then he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Well, I reckon so. I know that there are times when I will sit down and read the Bible and I'll say, oh, look at there. And I'll start preparing. I see something, or the Holy Spirit impresses something, and I start to think about that, and then ponder that, and then say, oh, there's the sermon, there's the idea. Now I got to get 3 points in a poem to go along with it. And so then I start writing, I start putting the thoughts down on paper, and then all of a sudden I just feel, wow. And my heart burns within me because I know that it is the Lord who has revealed what he wants you to hear the next service. And so that's how they felt. I guarantee you that's how they felt. You say, well, how do you know that? Because in verse 33, they got up and ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. Now, they wouldn't have run back to tell the disciples if they weren't charged. Don't you think? I certainly do. All right, so imagine yourself as one of these disciples walking home. And then suddenly the Lord shows up and opens your understanding of the Bible, of the scriptures, beginning all the way back at Genesis, coming all the way forward to Malachi. Just imagine that. I mean, you suddenly understand that the Lord Jesus, this person that you have been following for the last 3.5 years, and you've heard every sermon, you've listened to everything he said, you have seen the miracles, you have heard the sermons, everything. I mean, this is someone that you know intimately. You know him well. All right? And then suddenly, you understand that the Lord Jesus in picture can be seen all the way through the pages of the Bible. Well, folks, that's what Jesus did for these guys. He opened their understanding, and he, look at verse 27, he opened the Bible, their eyes, and expounded unto them in all the Bible the things concerning himself. Now, I'm telling you, folks, that's awesome right there. That is just absolutely amazing, in my opinion. As I've been teaching you about this, the Lord Jesus, I made this point, the Lord Jesus can be seen over and over and over in our Bibles. The Bible is a collection of portraits of one person. And that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the central focus of all the Bible. He is the central focus of all the Bible. I've tried to emphasize to you that Jesus can be found all the way through the Old Testament scriptures. Every single incident, everything that is recorded in the Bible in some way, in some fashion, either directly or indirectly, has some connection with God's revelation of Jesus Christ, His Son, and our Redeemer. Let me say it this way. The face of the Lord Jesus can be seen on every page of the Bible. You say, well, how do I see it? I'm gonna give you some helper, some aid in doing that in just a little bit. But now, folks, understand this. This is what the Lord Jesus Himself taught these two Emmaus disciples as they walked from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. So again, can you just imagine being there and hearing from the eternal Son of the living God, God in the flesh, God Almighty Himself, explaining the Bible so you could see and understand Him on every page and in every story? Wow. That just is amazing to me. Now, notice they were sad. They were discouraged because their Lord had died. He had been crucified. And so now it's the third day. It's Sunday, that resurrection day. And the Lord Jesus joined up with these disciples and revealed to them that that He was that resurrected Redeemer. Man, can you imagine the excitement there? When their eyes were opened and they went, oh, wow, it is you. But wait a minute, we watched you die. Yeah, I did die, but don't forget, I told you if I die, I was going to resurrect on the third day. What day is it, Cleopas? Well, it's the third day, Lord. There you go. I mean, I'm sure the Lord was just as candid with them as He could be. And it certainly thrilled their souls and blessed their hearts. So this loving little rebuke that the Lord gave, it was kind, it was gentle, but nonetheless, it was a rebuke for their lack of faith. Now, folks, here's what I'm saying. The Lord Jesus says that all, in verse 27, the Lord Jesus says that all the scriptures speak of him. That's what he says. He says the Bible speaks of him. I think it was in the first message two Wednesday nights ago, and I said that the scriptures clearly are clearly the scriptures of the Old Testament. And the reason I say that is because when the Lord Jesus said these words right here to Cleopas and to Mrs. Cleopas, not a single line had yet been written of the New Testament. So when he says he opened the scriptures to them, it means the Old Testament. Now, I've heard through the years many people say that they don't read the Old Testament very much. Oh, you should. You should. You say, well, why should I? Because Jesus is on every page. That's why. You ought to read your Bible so that you can learn about your Savior. I mean, I've had people say, well, it's just a bunch of history. It's a bunch of prophecy that I don't understand. Yes, but it's history with Jesus right in the middle of it. And it's prophecy with Jesus right in the middle of it. And if we were to read the Old Testament looking for Jesus on every page, it sure would make the Bible come alive for us, for they all speak of the Lord Jesus. So the Old Testament, therefore, is not primarily an account of creation, although it is, but it's not primarily an account of creation. It's not primarily the history of the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation. It's not primarily just a collection of moral, religious, and ethical instruction as Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and several other books are. No, it's much more than that. It is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It is the revelation, the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we realize that, and if we will read the Old Testament looking for the Lord Jesus on every page, the Old Testament becomes thrilling. It becomes an exciting exercise as we turn the pages and look for His face on every page, hidden among the incidents that are recorded in the text. So this is what the Lord Jesus meant in John chapter 5 and verse 39. You're in Luke 24. Just turn about three or four pages and you'll be in John 5. And look, please, at verse 39. John 5, verse 39. All right, it says, search, and look at it this way. He is saying to them, you search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Can you imagine those Pharisees sitting there listening to him say that? I'm telling you, I bet you any. I'm not this Christian betting. It's okay. I will guarantee you, folks, that those guys came out of their shoes when he said this. He said, "You guys, all you do is study your scriptures. That's all you do. You know your scriptures frontwards and backwards. And you think that they are giving you eternal life. But you don't realize those scriptures are talking about me. I'm the only one that can give you eternal life. But you don't have it because you can't see me. That's what he's saying to them, folks. So here's the point, Christian. As you read the Old Testament scriptures, just look for Jesus. Just look for him. I mean, he is there. He's on every single page. And you will see him. And then do this. Ask the Holy Spirit before you start reading to help you learn and to, as Jesus did for Cleopas and for his wife, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes so you can see the Lord Jesus. Because you see, folks, that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to show you Jesus. Did the Lord Jesus say that when the Holy Spirit is come, he will not testify of himself? And that's one reason why I believe that this modern day charismatic movement is not of God. Because the emphasis is on the wrong person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit shines the light over on Jesus, not on himself. All right? And so as you begin to read, just take the time and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see and spot the pictures of Jesus as you read and study your Bible. Now, let's look at page one of the Bible. Let's look at page one of the Bible with the record of creation and the early history of the human race. All right, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 for just a moment. And let me show you how this thing works, how the pictures work. All right? In verse 1, Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God created. Now, you might be wondering, am I going to see Jesus there? Yes, you are. Of course you are. I mean, just about everybody, when they read this, they'll say, oh, that's creation. No, that's Jesus. That's the primary thing you're supposed to see. You say, well, I see creation. No, somebody had to do the creating. So don't get hung up on the creation. You see, you wouldn't get hung up on it if you didn't have this foolish evolutionary theory. I mean, if you just read the Bible and believed what the Bible said and didn't question, see, you wouldn't be stumbling. You wouldn't have a problem. You'd read that and you'd say, oh, there he is. There he is. So the primary purpose of the book of Genesis is to introduce us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, right here in the first verse of the Bible, we see him. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see him in that verse. Well, there's a reason. There's a reason you don't see that him in that verse. And the reason is because you have to take the New Testament and you have to read the inspired New Testament. Do you remember when you were a child and your parents gave you, it was a piece of plastic that looked like a pair of binoculars. Remember that? And they had these little discs with these little film things in them. And you put it on the top, and then you pushed that little button down. When you put it up to your eyes, you looked at the light, and then you pushed that little button down. Now, I'm not sure what they called them. I tried to look it up, and the what? ViewMaster. There it is. That's it, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I had. All right, so I want you to think about that, all right? You looked through two holes, but when you pushed it down, there was a picture here and a picture here, and miraculously, they became one. Amazing, huh? Now, I don't know how yours was, but mine came with pictures of the Grand Canyon and pictures of whales and pictures of some tigers and some lions on one of them, and the pyramids were on another. I mean, it came with several of those little discs. And I remember sitting there looking at them and just amazed as the two pictures came together to reveal one. All right, so your New Testament is like your ViewMaster. All right, your viewfinder, whatever it's called. What was it called? ViewMaster. I had it right the first time. Your New Testament is the picture over on this side, and the Old Testament is the picture over on this side. And when you push the button down, the two are going to blend together. All right, now what does the Old Testament say? Well, it says, in the beginning, God created. All right, so do you see Jesus right there? Well, not yet. But if you go over to the Gospel of John in the New Testament and you push down on the lever, let's just go over there real quick, John chapter 1, and I'll show you how this works. All right, so you're sitting down now and you're reading your Bible. And when you're reading your Bible, you start at the beginning and it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so you scratch your head and you go, wow, okay. And then you go over and say, well, my pastor said I need to read the Gospel of John. So you turn to John and chapter 1 and verse 1, and what does it say? It says, in the beginning. Is that not the same thing I read over here? Oh, so there's a correlation in there. That means the light that I got here is going to be brightened over here. It's going to be filled in. It's going to be exalted. And so what do I read in John in the New Testament? Well, I read, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so I scratch my head and I say, all right, well, who is the Word? I'm going to keep reading. The same was in the beginning with God. Well, who was back there with God when it was all created? Adam wasn't there. Eve wasn't there. Moses wasn't there. No, you weren't there. You got off the ark, but you weren't at creation, right? What? Close. Wonder who was back there with God. Huh. The Word was with God. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this is Christ. This is the Lord Jesus. The book is all about Him. Now, look at the third verse. The third verse says, all things. Now, how many things? All of them. That means the earth. That means the trees. That means the oceans. That means the sky. That means the universe. That means the stars. That means the moon. That means the animals. That means us. All things were, what's the next word?
Made
by Him. Who's Him? The Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. All right, so taking the disc and putting it in the viewfinder, you then look through it, push the button, and Genesis 1:1 comes out, and John 1:3 comes out, and boy, there it is. Jesus in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Jesus is the Creator. All things were made by Him. So, folks, that's how you see Jesus in your Bible. All right, now, here's what I want you to do. All right, I know that most of you probably have a concord or a center column, or your column is out on the side or wherever, and you will have a little A or a 1 or a B or a C or whatever, wherever you are on the page. And then you can go to that column and you can read cross references. How many of you have one of those in your Bible? You've got that on your in your Bible. All right, most of you do. How about you guys upstairs? Y'all got that little line, that little column there, huh? Do you? Most of you do. Okay, good. All right. Now, if you have one, look at the A beside the word beginning. Now, can you see that? Oh, it's awful small. But can you see it? Do you have an A beside beginning? I do. And here's what it says that I'm to look at. I'm to look at Psalm 136 and verse 5. All right? So, you don't need to do this. I'll just do it for you. I'm going to go over to Psalm, and I'm going to go to 136 and verse 5, and I'm going to read it for you. And here's what the verse says. It says, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. So, by Him? By Him? I wonder who Him is. Exactly. You know that now. Why do you know that? You know that because John 1:3 is in the Bible. All right, so then the next one under Psalm 136 in my Bible is John 1:1-3. And so that's how you see Jesus, folks. I want you to know that these columns that are in study Bibles, they are not inspired like the Bible is. Now, I want you to understand that. They're not inspired like the Bible is. You say, well, where'd they come from? Well, when the scholars translated the Bible into English, they spent months, years studying the Bible, learning the Bible. They did not just sit down and translate the Bible. No, they got a feel for what was in the Bible. They got a feel for its doctrine. They got a feel for its message. They got a feel for everything about it. And so when they sat down and translated, they then contrasted Scripture with Scripture. Folks, make no mistake about it. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Make no mistake about that. And so I hope that you will realize how important it is and how it will help you to read and go to that column and look up the verses that it encourages you to look up. And notice in verse 1 of Genesis 1, it takes you right over to the Gospel of John and tells you that the Lord Jesus is the Creator. Now, isn't that awesome? All right, that's awesome. Then you can just keep right on reading. The picture becomes clear, and you'll get over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 16 and 17, and you will read again from the Apostle Paul that the Lord Jesus created all things. Those verses say this, "For by Him," speaking of Christ, "were all things created," all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So the Bible tells us, I mean, you just keep pushing that button down, and man, you're going to see, clear as a bell, Jesus standing right there. Right there. And you can do that all the way through your Bible. Isn't that amazing? Now you got some new ammunition, don't you? I hope you'll use it. I hope you'll use it. I mean, this will help you learn the Bible better than anything I know, folks. Anything I know. All right? Let me show you one more before we go. Look at verse 3 of Genesis 1. Verse 3, Genesis 1. Genesis 1, look at verse 3. What's it say? It says, "And God said, let there be," what?
Light.
Let there be light. And when God says, let there be light, then light shows up. All right, He's God. So if He says something, it happens. "Let there be light." And there was light. All right, now do you see Jesus right there? How? How do you see Him? Because here's how you see Him. Now, don't get ahead of me. Go over to John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1 again. All right. Look, please, at verse 3. Verse 3 is where we found out that Jesus is in verse 1. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now watch, verse 4. "In Him," who? The Word, Jesus. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Uh-huh. So, in other words, if you look at verse 3, and then you put your little disc in, your little magic binoculars there, and you push that little button down, and in Genesis 1, 3, "Let there be light," and then you just keep reading your Bible, and eventually you get over to John chapter 1 and verse 4, and again you find out Jesus is the light. Without Him, there is no light. All right, look at verse 5. "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That means the darkness of this world could not extinguish the light that he is. And brethren, it still can't. It still can't. All right? So Jesus is the light. He's the light. Now, look at John 9. Look at John 9. So the Bible just keeps unfolding. It just keeps developing. Look at John 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm here, I am the light. All right, look at chapter 8 and verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, I like that. Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 46. 12:46. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So who's the light? Jesus is. So when you learn that, all right, so you've got your disc, you put it in, and you push the button down, and you've got Genesis 1:3, and then you've got John 1:4, and boom, there it is. The light. Jesus is the light. And that's how you do it, folks. That's how you do it. Now, the rest of the record of the 7 days is just an expansion of the work of the Lord Jesus. On the second day of creation, you remember that? The Bible says that God separated the water on the earth from those in the heavens. So what is the picture? Well, the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, who is the creator, is also the great separator between the things of earth and the things of heaven. He is the great separator. You see, the presence of light attracts and awakens some, but it repels and drives away others. At sunrise, the birds and the animals awaken with a song, but the same sunlight causes the unclean, like the owls and the bats and the bloodthirsty beasts, to seek cover under darkness. You see, God made it all. And so in the separation of the waters as a result of light, we see another picture of Christ. Look at John chapter 3. I'll quit with this one, I promise. I got more, but... No, I can't, y'all. Next Wednesday's another service. All right, look at verse 19. John 3, 19. Now again, this is Jesus talking. And what's he say? And, let's just go back and get 18, all right? He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Well, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, watch this now, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why they ride at night. Yes, sir? Yep. That's why bars are dark, and that's why they open in the evenings, in the night. That's why You name it, folks. I mean, just start thinking and you'll see this everywhere. Everywhere. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? So in the separation of the waters as a result of light, we see another picture of Jesus. And folks, listen, he's everywhere. I mean, he's all through this book of Genesis. All right, we'll stop right there, and I'll try to pick this up next week right here because I got more, but I ran out of time. All right, does that help you? All right, I want you to start reading your Bible in that light, all right? You were given light tonight. Now use it. Use the light. If we don't use the light we've been given, we're not going to get any more light. True. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you now for the word, and I pray that you will bless this. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we have heard. I pray you'll help us to take this little method of studying the Bible and apply it and use it. And Father, help us to take the time to look up the cross references that that have been put in our Bibles to help us, not to confuse us, but to help us. And Father, the best commentary on the Scriptures is the Scriptures. So help us to just go from old to new, old to new, old to new, and just see all these wonderful pictures of Jesus. And Lord, I pray it'll bless and strengthen our faith in our hearts. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for our wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it.